Hello, this is Janet Gallen with Love Letters Live, and I welcome you to another interesting story. And actually, today is going to be a very interesting kind of love letter. And you know that love letters are for anyone at any time, really for any reason that you feel you want to communicate with somebody in a loving and compassionate way. And of course, loving and compassionate is just the start. It can be all kinds of things, but with a good heart. And I'm going to go right to our guest today, Miranda Morris, who is actually a staff person at KUSF. And we're going to talk about what's been going on here. And Miranda, I want to go to you. Just tell us what your position is, how long you've been here, how you feel about radio work, what drew you to it.
Well, I've been at KUSF for over 5 years, and I started as part-time and
picked up. In what capacity?
In the office. I helped with office duties, and I became really active as a volunteer. I helped out with the rock and swaps, and I stuck around for about a year, and then they offered me a full-time office position. It's at the university, they call them program assistants, and at KUSF as a program assistant, it's very different than the other program assistants, but what I felt the job embodied was office manager, and I assisted the general manager, the program director, any community member who came in asking questions.
So you were really kind of a liaison between the radio station and the community more than a production person.
Very much so.
Yes. So let me ask you, because KUSF has been in the news a lot lately.
Yes.
For having had the station kind of sold right out from under everybody. Can you tell us what happened and how you see it and what the repercussions have been? I know the studio's in just terrible turmoil and disarray.
Yes, the university decided to sell KUSF's license for 90.3 FM, and they did so without consulting KUSF staff. So we were left in the dark, and
until the day it closed, right?
Until January 18th when they shut us down. And it did get a little confusing because they were doing a lot of construction, planning a lot of construction for this side of campus. This hall that we're in Phelan Hall, and they were going to move us, and then they did say they were going to move us. So I would, my last job before the shutdown was chief fundraiser. So, you know, I was busy fundraising, and I didn't think much about them asking for files. I thought it had to do with the move. You know, they were asking
that
about
puts
how
you in
big
a terrible
is a transmitter.
And if you're fundraising and you're asking for money for a studio that's going to be shut down right under.
Oh, I know. So actually,
my goodness.
One of the most, I think, just unparalleled things is that the day of the shutdown, I came in the morning, and we had just sent out an opera newsletter asking for donations to keep community radio on the air. And I was sitting down to write my thank you notes. And we did them by hand. You know, I typed the letters, I signed them. And I had literally just typed, thank you for keeping community radio alive.
Gosh.
I mean, I hadn't put it in the envelope and sent it out. But
and
I mean,
KUSF
I just
was a
typed
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful station with, was a wonderful station with music and talk and so much.
Yes. It was very diverse, and that was really what.
So where did that leave you in your heart? I mean, where did that leave you?
Well, at first I cried, and then I was angry. I was very angry for not being involved in the management's decision, and that's actually hurting us still right now, because we can tell they did it so fast, they didn't really plan the online station, and you're involved in that.
Yes.
And you're being told, you know, we might go dark, and we're still moving, and we don't know what budget that they're moving us to. And these studios that have been here for 34 years, we had two major engineers helping us throughout the years, and one was Bill Ruck and Mike Schweitzer and Steve Runyon, and this was done on a shoestring budget, but done very well.
Yes.
And to a lot of this,
station.
You're not going to be able to just take out of here and put in another room. It was built specifically for these rooms. And
so,
you know,
what was that? I mean, there's been a lot of anger in the community, not just from the radio station, but people who are saying, you know, where's my opera? And now they can't get the classical station in Upper Marin or down the peninsula, whereas they used to.
It's a complicated deal, and I'm still trying to understand and figuring out what was going on. But basically, Entercom, who owned KDFC, moved KDFC from 102.1, which was a very strong signal, which reached San Francisco and the peninsula.
That's right.
And they moved KDFC, the classical station, into our 90.3, which is only 3,000 watts and really doesn't even go anywhere past the airport.
So who was really served by all this? It doesn't seem that anybody really was.
We think it's big in that they're parking KDFC here for a while and then they're on the lookout for other radio stations. So this actually really alarmed our sister college stations around here. KZSU, Santa Clara, Stanford. Calix wasn't worried, but the transmitter move does mess with their signals as well. So there's also KFJC. They were a little bit worried about somebody trying to buy their station from
them. So the repercussions have been really far-reaching. But what about locally? What about the attitude towards Father Privat, who did this without letting anybody know? And I mean, it puts everybody in a really adversarial position.
I think the general consensus is that they are more angry that they realize, okay, you're a private university, you know, the economic times, you know, you could have sold this station. But the biggest problem was is they wanted USF to approach the community and keep it a community radio station and offer it to the community. But, you know, when they...
Oh, I see. They could have done that.
Drawn into the Patrick Communications as the broker. There's PRC, Public Radio Capital, and CPRN, you know, got upper management to sign all this non-disclosure acts, and they started forward on these radio broker deals. And I think what's so disheartening to a lot of people is that this was a non-commercial educational license, but what happened there seemed very commercial. You know, very commercial takeover. And one of the things, and this is why I say it's very complicated, and I've been watching the Save KUSF and the Friends of KUSF.
Tell us what that is, Save KUSF.
Save KUSF is all the community members, programmers, DJs banded together to stand up for their license and the 34 years of radio that they built here. And, you know, the anger at USF has subsided, and they would like them to renegotiate or, you know, not go through with the sale.
And what would that mean?
Or ask the FCC to reconsider the sale and not let the license go through on technicalities.
Would that mean you could have your radio station back?
It would mean a lot of things. And this is one thing that I really appreciate the community members who were at the station is they're not just fighting for KUSF, they're fighting for non-commercial educational licenses nationwide and media reform.
And it seems, and not having things done in a sneaky manner.
True. Yeah. So the less side of the dial, and I like to bring it back to the corporate side of the dial, this seemed very corporate side of the dial, not left side of the dial. And just they just really wish USF would have gone about it differently. Yeah. And USF had thought about selling the station about 5 years ago, and people were worried USF might try to sell it, and they tried to approach the university saying, if you do want to sell, will you contact these people? And and nothing was they weren't responded to. And
so you're meeting with Father Privat yesterday. You were talking about that. I want to hear about that if you can, because there was a human side to this.
He was very kind to meet with us, and I introduced myself as, you know, I'm a staff member down at KUSF. I work with all these students. And
so it was mostly students there.
He wanted only students there because, you know, he met with the community at the town hall meeting, and that was over 500 people.
Right.
And very interesting to see the community come out and, you know, stand up for their community radio station. And it was interesting, but they weren't going to just walk away and say, you know, just sell it. You know, they wanted to say, you know, we trusted you. We trusted you as a university.
That is the key issue.
Okay, so trust and, and what they did.
So what did he want from the students in calling a student meeting?
Well, actually, no, the students kept asking me, you know, what's going on? And, you know, and I said, you know, at the town hall meeting, because they were all out on break, this was happened, they took us off air on the 18th. They called for the town hall meeting on the 19th because, I mean, the president's office, everybody got flooded with emails. We were getting flooded with phone calls. And they held a town hall meeting. And at the town hall meeting, he had said he'd be more than willing to meet with the students. And so with this impending move, we had, you know, the students, it's obvious that something is going on with KOSF and, you know, what's the future. And I had suggested to them, why don't you talk to Father Prevett? And so we arranged a meeting. And
so he welcomed you into this meeting?
He did. I made sure he knew that I was staff and not a student. And
what were some of the questions?
Well, actually, they started off the meeting with explaining to him as students what KOSF meant to them. And they also wanted to clear up a few things that had got made public by Prevett. And
can you say what those are?
Yes. So they had said that only 10, at first there was only 10 students were involved in KOSF, and then it was corrected to 10%.
That's a big difference.
Yes. My goodness. Actually, we were realizing that it was a much higher number of students. Yes. We were up to at least 30%. And one of the first students who spoke to Prevett, she said that she had found a home at KOSF.
Yes.
And she commuted all the way from Danville. And before she found a home at KOSF, she was going to transfer and realized that, you know, she was enjoying her time at USF because of KOSF. And
so
I
she
think
felt
he,
she was kind of here under false pretenses almost.
Or it, actually, what I really appreciate about her look is that she feels absolutely sorry for any of the students coming up behind her and not having the opportunity that she had. And I think that's just wonderful and beautiful and giving. And and she's wanted to point out to Father Prevett as well that she was a behind-the-scenes worker. She did not like to get behind the microphone. She was a senior. She was busy, but she was really my right hand in marketing.
Oh.
And there's nothing like getting firsthand experience for her to go out and get a job.
Well,
I mean, she
made
flyers.
Yes,
she did
I was
going to
ask about that. I've been kind of interested because I know, I think what Father Prevett was saying was it's a college station, it's based on a campus, and the obligation is to be the kind of station that students can learn about radio work. And my question is, what better way to learn about radio work than having a real station that is so popular and in such demand?
Yeah.
So that didn't make sense, really.
It doesn't make sense to me either because it seemed like it. He said it wasn't about the money, but it seemed about the money.
Right.
And the
KOSF, and they sold it to a college station.
Well, it on paper they are connected to USC, but we're realizing that CPRN is actually not an educational outlet.
Okay.
And there's, I don't know the technicalities with it, but the in black and white, you know, they can check the box saying, oh yeah, we have affiliations with USC, but basically nothing against KDFC, and that is actually what all of us here, especially me at KUSF, I dealt with a lot of the opera listeners who also were classical listeners, and we would talk for hours on the phone about what they didn't like about KDFC because it was commercial.
Right.
So I do feel
and you
like
had such
KDFC,
wonderful classical programming and opera, and David Refkin with his ragtime.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my favorite.
We did have good classical programming, and it was scattered throughout our 24/7 programming. So,
what happened in this meeting? I was so touched by your saying when I talked to you earlier. Maybe I'll write a love letter to Father Prevett. So what? I mean, where did this? It's so interesting. I think the whole topic of writing a love letter to someone who was really flat out an adversary, did something that hurt you, and did something that wasn't above board. And what happened in your view to have you find it in your heart that you could write him some kind of a love letter? What would it be?
Well, I do think he pointed out in the meeting articulately that the students had their viewpoint mm-hmm. and the university had theirs, and he's running a big business. Mm-hmm. And he, and this is where it saddens me that they didn't try to make KUSF work better for right. the university and either put their foot down for a bottom line, like, you need to become a profit center, or you need to have X amount of student involvement uh-huh. or X amount of student programming before they sold it. And then I think he would have felt that KUSF was an asset
yes.
to the university, because it is beachfront property, these licenses. You know, business 101, you're not supposed to sell anything. You can never buy again. The USF will probably never have a chance to buy a license. And, you know, we really did fit with the mission statement of the university as being social justice.
Sure.
I mean, we probably did more social justice than any department in the university.
Yes. But so what would you say to him?
I would say that...
I mean, let's start to compose it as an example of how you would write a love letter and what you would find it in your heart to say about him.
About him.
Yes. So, dear Father Prevett.
Dear Father Prevett.
Yes.
I understand what pressures you must have running this university and all the departments. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the bottom line and... not, and maybe I would have just asked for him to come down and really understood what KUSF was doing. And
so you'd have a request from him.
I guess so.
That's fair enough. So how do you phrase that in a love letter that keeps it a love letter? In other words, it's really a love letter, which is something about the other guy, and a love letter of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Is a really gorgeous and tricky thing to do, because you mm-hmm. have to forgive really without saying, I forgive you, mm-hmm. and implying that the person has been horrible.
Yeah.
So, but I like what you said about, I understand the pressure you're under.
I do understand the pressure he's under, and I do realize that the wheels are turning. And once, you know, they turned the wheel over here, it's involving, you know, Entercom and all these other radio stations, and I see that he was put in a hard place for
yes.
any kind of reversal. And I would wish he would still reconsider.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what about him makes you feel that you can ask him this? In other words, you must have mm-hmm. some kind of faith in his ability to understand. And his faith in... the future of USF mm-hmm. and his connection with it.
I do. And, you know, I've been following him since I've been here. This is his third term as president. And I have seen him stood up. You know, he stood up to the Pope. And I do think he's done some interesting things.
So in other
here.
Words, you could say to him, I saw you stand up mm-hmm. to the Pope, and I don't know what the issue was. Can you say what it was? Or
yeah, I don't really want to get into that, because
okay. But it shows some strength. You're saying on
it
his
shows
part.
Some strength, and actually his work in South America, and he does champion a lot of things. And,
so
and it was unfortunate that he couldn't find those things in KUSF too.
Okay, so that's really kind of a beautiful way to say it. I think could you say something like, I know from your history of. Mm-hmm. championing, you said his work in South America?
Yes, and then actually there's one that was very recent, and that was their decision to go ahead and renew the contract with Upward Bound. And it gave people on campus, I think, some hope just in general that USF was still committed to...
Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, so Upward Bound was a program that had been here since the 60s. It was federally funded.
And it did what? Just for our listeners to know.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have a total overview of it. But from my understanding, they offered classes and summer workshops for underprivileged kids and disenfranchised kids and a lot of kids from mm-hmm. the Hunters Point community, San Francisco community, anybody who needed college preparation. And I know that some of the kids were standing up for the you know, the fact that coming up here to USF, this beautiful campus, mm-hmm. you know, really gave them a sense of higher learning,
mm-hmm.
and just really offered a perspective of like great things happen in the world, and you know, there's reasonable discourse, and you know, there's things
so you
out
wanna,
there.
You can let him know that he is not just the man who has done this awful thing. He is a man who's done so much good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you list them, you know, one of the things about a really great love letter
mm-hmm.
that touches everybody is when you're specific.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, you know, you've done so many good things is one thing. If you say you did this, you know, you dealt with mm-hmm. the Pope when it was necessary, and which took huge strength,
mm-hmm.
and you've been supporting Upward Bound, and you have championed causes in South America, and you've put yourself on the front lines
mm-hmm.
of so much social justice that needed to be mm-hmm. Established,
mm-hmm.
that I know you have it in you to understand what we're talking about.
True.
And I think if you say it like that, it makes it really a love letter.
I think so, too. And
because yeah, it's not just asking for something, mm-hmm. and it's got no blame in it whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
which is really important.
And I think getting away from the anger has helped me as a person, and all of the things I've learned about radio, about the university, since this has happened. I mean, the students, I think I was telling you this earlier, but mm-hmm. in the meeting, I wanted to cry. It was like so beautiful to see these students sit there and talk with the president. And I mean, 30 seconds before we walked into this meeting, I mean, we were literally shaking in our boots. We had never been in the room before. It was in his presidential boardroom. And but I will say, 30 seconds into the meeting, when the students started talking and just really saying, this is what I'm losing academically. This mm-hmm. is why I did, you know, KUSF in tandem with my mm-hmm. university life here. It was part of the community. And the fact was, is that KUSF did have a lot of community members mm-hmm. running the radio station because the students couldn't do it by themselves. And that was actually kind of looked down upon by the university, that it was so community involved.
I know,
and the students really wanted to say, you know, look, these are, you know, connections to clubs, connections to big venues, connections mm-hmm. to concert festivals in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I will say, when I did a lot of student recruitment here, the easiest thing to get students to walk in the door was music.
Sure.
All kids love music. I mean, I still have
a huge
passion for music, but I will say, I mean, music captivated me as a 18, 19, 20-year-old. I mean, I couldn't get enough of it. And I know with the internet, you know, there's a lot easier ways to get music now, but I will say, at KUSF, you were around people who really knew music.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I mean, it wasn't just, oh, well, some guys, you know, writing on the internet, you know, Nirvana's second album is the best, you know. It was actually sitting, talking with somebody, going through the library. We have this archive where people had been writing
on. Well, I know that. You've got highly educated people in charge of your music.
Yeah, so the programmers were educating the students, and the students brought their own things to the table, and I think if the university was so upset with all the, you know, that there was more community involvement, and, you know, so it was 70-30.
Right.
I think we could have done something about that, but we did do a lot about that. You know, we had women's basketball on, and we did a lot. But I will say, it's a different world now. I mean, with classes being so expensive.
Of course it is a different world,
It is different.
but there's still, I mean, the fact of the matter is that even though people listen on their computers while they're at work and they get things podcasted to them and there are other ways, when you're in the car, or there's so many times when radio is just the only choice, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
I listen to it in the kitchen, and now I don't listen to anything. I took my radio out and I put a CD player next to my stove.
Right.
Because there's nothing on the radio.
As you know, you can get it all live stream. But still, it's different than turning a radio on. There's a different feel. But I want to just get back to your letter for a minute, because I'm so intrigued by the whole concept and how you're going to... I hope you get this done very soon.
Okay.
And really, as I say, be so specific about all the good that he's done. And another paragraph or another part of the letter should be, just like you said, all that you've gotten out of it, all that you've learned. But I think it's also interesting, and I think worth saying, that the meeting with him really opened you up to, when you talked about the anger disappearing, And I think that's, you know, if you say the anger is gone after the meeting with you, I find the anger is gone, and I can really talk about this in a better way and understand your position. And even given all that, I still am asking you to come do whatever it is. But I want to talk about how you're going to send this letter, because I am sure this man gets a ton of letters.
I think he does too, but he actually is very responsive.
Is it good?
He's one of those, you know, sent by my, you know, BlackBerry. You know, he responds very
quickly.
Well,
that's email, but I'm talking about you're going to do this in a letter on stationery.
I would like to do it in a letter. And I mean, one of the things I would like to say is thank you for meeting with the students.
That's a wonderful way to start.
And, you know, we were not sure how to approach him, or, you know, they approached me about questions on how to approach him, and I had to say, you know, I've actually never even shook his hand. You know, I've seen him at Christmas parties and and things, but I really didn't know how to approach him, and I asked a couple other professors, and they said, oh, just email him, you know, just ask him for a meeting.
Oh, and I see what you're saying. So he responds.
So it just saying, wow, you know, I'm an employee. Am I risking my job? Am I...
but I want to say something else about the letter part of it. If you do a letter in your own handwriting...
Yes.
He'll have something that is part... This is part of your history. This is part of USF history.
Yes.
He'll have something that I'm sure will go in some archive, or, I mean, nobody throws these things away. You know, in 100 years, somebody's going to find this, or in 50 years, and have hit gold as far as a historical document. So that's something to keep in mind when you're writing this kind of a letter. It really is a historical document. And I'm wondering what kind of stationery you're going to use.
I could use a KSS stationery.
I think that would be really nice. And I, you know, I like the 44-cent stamp. But I'm wondering, because that envelope is the gift wrap, and this is a gift to him. This is really a gift from your heart to his. And... you know, something that maybe a month ago he would never have gotten from you, but now he is. And doesn't that just double the preciousness of it? And that envelope, I would say put a sticker on it, put a flower, put a something so it really stands out and catches his eye. Or, and I don't usually ever recommend this because I don't see the need for it, because I do love the post office and have huge faith in it and want it to be here forever. I would wonder if you could send it special delivery, or that he has to sign for it, so that it makes its way. How do you, what do you think of that?
Well, I wouldn't mind hand delivering it to his program assistant.
Oh, perfect.
Either.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a wonderful office up there on Lone Mountain, and he's got a wonderful program assistant.
Okay. So just so something you know will get to him, and catch his eye, but
Put
something on the envelope.
I will draw on the outside of the envelope a flower, just like you recommended.
Something, you know, to mark this as special, out of the ordinary, because it certainly is going to be.
Okay.
And if you have anything to share with us about his response, you know, a love letter is a gift. You don't send it to get something, even if you're asking for something. If you do, that's just extra.
Okay.
And, you know, usually people do get a response of some sort. And if it's something you'd like to share in the world of love letters, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming and talking about this. I know it's something that, you know, a huge part of our community has been just ranging from interested to obsessed with, because it's just a huge issue. So thank you very much, Miranda.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for hearing my story.
And until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, but I just want to remind you that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion for the writer and for the person who gets it. So until next time, bye-bye.